Tibetan Buddhism is a religion with a rich culture that emerged from a wide range of practices, which include the complete scope of the Buddha's teachings from the Hinayana, Mahayana, and Vajrayana levels. Different groups belonging to Tibetan Buddhism include the Nyingmapa, founded by Padmasambhava, Kagyupa, founded by Tilopa, Sakyapa, founded by Gongchak Gyalpo, and his son Gunga Ningpo, and Gelugpa, founded by Song Kapa Lobsangdrapa. The teachings of Tibetan Buddhism puts a focus on the awareness of death and the ephemeral nature of life, leading to diligence in meditation and spiritual practice. Mandalas, prayer flags, and tanka paintings are visual imagery used as reminders for practitioners on the path. One of the renowned masters of this religion is Milarepa. Magician, yogi, poet, hermit, many names have been attributed to this most famous figure of Tibet's history. This Himalayan saint lived from 1052 to 1135, and his story of personal redemption has continued to be an inspiration to many generations. Through songs called dohas, Milarepa imparted divine teachings on spiritual devotion and wisdom. Today we present to you an excerpt, Song of the Staff, from the holy text of Tibetan Buddhism, with the compilation titled, The 100,000 Songs of Milarepa.
The 100,000 Songs of Milarepa, the Song of the Staff. Obeisance to all gurus. Having renounced all worldly belongings and material things, the Jetsam Milarepa's only possession was a cane staff. One day, carrying his staff, Milarepa and his disciple, Savan Repa, went to the Jen Valley for alms. They came to a barred house, which was near the bank of the river. Except for an old woman, not a living soul was there. Milarepa asked her for alms. She said, I am a penniless old woman, but across the field there is a rich man called Shang Chub Ba who is working on his farm. Go there and ask him, and your wish will be granted. When they arrived at the rich man's house, they saw that he was sorting seeds for sowing. Milarepa said,
My dear patron, we were told that you are a rich man, so we come here to you for alms.
The man replied, It is pleasant to offer you alms, but if you are a real yogi, you should understand the symbolic meaning of things and be able to preach an exemplary sermon. Now, please use my farming as a parable and sing me a preaching song. Thereupon the Jetsam and Savan sang together.
Oh, my proud and arrogant patron, listen to me, you rich man of Nganson. In this month of spring, the peasants of Tibet are busy on their farms. I, the yogi, also farm. Upon the bad field of desires, I spread the fertilizer of the preparatory practice. I wet the field with manure of the five nectars. I plant the seeds of the non-confusing mind, farming with discriminative thought. I plow with non-dualistic oxen harnessed to the wisdom plow, with observation of precepts as the nose rope and non-distraction effort as the girth. Diligence is my whip and skill my bridle. With these tools and efforts, the bud of Bodhi sprouts, In due season, ripe will be my fruit. You are a farmer who grows annual crops. For eternity, I cultivate. At harvest, you are proud and joyful. Which of us will be happier in the end? In allegory, I have phrased this song of farming. Though proud and arrogant, be now gay and joyful by making many offerings. Accumulate merits for your own good.
The man countered, Dear Yogi, I see you have a staff in your hand. What does it mean? Is it for amusement like a child's toy? Or is it for lunatics to hold? Please tell me, what is it for? Milarepa sang the answer.
Listen, my dear inquisitive patron. Do you know who I am? I am the yogi, Milarepa, who follows the ascetic way. I am a yogi, great in strength and perseverance, who has no limitations. The staff in my hand grew on a huge rock. It was cut by a sickle and became a companion of wild stags. It came from Nepal in the south. From it I hung the Mahayana Sutras. I take it with me to the marketplace. It was offered to me by a faithful follower. This is the story of my walking staff. If you do not understand my meaning, listen then with great care. The stout end, cut from near the root, symbolizes being cut off from samsara, or cycle of reincarnation. The thin end, cut from near the top, symbolizes the cutting off of all doubts and confusions. It is 2 cubits long and represents the twin qualities of a Buddhist.
Of good qualities and pliant, it is like the original mind essence, good and sound. The varnish of a pleasant brown is like the great harmony of the original mind nature. Straight and supple, it symbolizes unmistaken practice and devotion. The tiny grooves you see represent the perfection of the Bodhi path. The 4 joints in the cane are the 4 infinite wishes. The 3 knots symbolize the 3 bodies of the Buddha. It never changes color. This represents the immutable reality of the root principle. Its head, curved and covered, displays the beyond play words nature of reality. Its white and glittering appearance shows the Dharmakaya, the unmanifested, inconceivable aspect of a Buddha, immaculate and pure.
The hollows symbolize the void nature of all beings. The spots are a symbol of the soul, Tigle. The scattered black marks indicate that Tibetan yogis and pepas have few disturbing thoughts. This cane, most excellent, represents my devotion and practice in compliance with the Dharma, or true teaching. Its elegance and loveliness displays my disciples' sincerity and faith. The iron ferrule on the tip conveys the perseverance of yogis in the Hermitage. The handle wrapped with copper represents the mastery and attraction of dakinis, or tantric deities. The nail attached to the tip displays the bravery and diligence of yogis. The hanging brass ring represents the increase of inner merits.
The ornament of Shabran hanging down is the flexible understanding of the yogi. The thong of 2 twisted ropes represents the entering of the 2 in 1 path. The mother and the son thongs intermingling, the meeting with the mother of the 3 bodies. The ornaments hanging on the staff mean many travels for the yogi. The flint and bellows signify that all he sees and meets are the yogi's friends. The white shell hanging on the staff means that I should turn the wheel of Dharma or true teaching. The rag symbolizes the yogi's attitude without fear or shame.
The mirror hanging on the staff is the enlightenment that shines within. The sharp knife indicates that the pain of passions will be cut. The stone crystal symbolizes my widespread reputation. The woolen cords of red and white, that my disciples will be numerous. The handsome staff that now I hold is the means and symbol of the conquest over evil beings. Patron, you ask me for the meaning of this staff. This proves you have sincerity and faith. This present meeting witnesses our pure wishes in a former life. For mankind and devas, conceivers of all symbols, I have sung this song of the white staff. Revere then and appreciate its Dharma teaching. Dear patron, I hope you practice Dharma or true teaching and win happiness supreme.
Great faith was engendered in the heart of this rich man. Bowing down at Milarepa's feet, he said, Dear Lama, from now until the day of my death, I shall serve you. Please come and live permanently in my house. But the Jetson and Savanrepa would not promise to stay more than 7 days, saying,
We have no wish to accept your worldly offerings.
At the end of their sojourn, as they started to take leave, the patron cried, Since you have made up your minds to depart, before you go, please tell us your experiences and realizations during meditation. In answer, the Jetson and his disciples sang together.
Listen to me, faithful patron, who are rich but imprudent. Easy is it to talk of Dharma or true teaching, but 'tis hard to practice it. Oh, you confused and worldly beings, you always waste your leisure, letting time slip by. Though your mind is ever saying, I must practice Dharma or true teaching, your life is wasted as the hours slip by. You should now determine to start practice. Cool mountain water heals the bladder's ills, but only grouse and mountain birds can reach it. Beasts of the valley have no chance to drink it. The sword of heavenly iron falling when it thunders is the weapon with which to destroy the foe. But only the elephant earth protector can grasp and use it effectively. Small elephants have not the strength. The nectar of heaven is the essence of long life, ever keeping the quintessence of body strong. But only the holy guru, Nagarjuna, could use it. Not all who practice Dharma or true teaching. The golden chest that gives enjoyment is a treasure which cures poverty, but only Prince Moonlight can possess it, not the common people.
The wondrous gem beneath the ocean is a marvel granting all desires, but it belongs to the dragon of happiness. Men on earth cannot obtain it. Grand scenery indeed has the palace of joyous heaven. But only Guru Asanga can enjoy it. Not all human beings can reach or see it. The medicine of six merits can cure colds and fever. 'Tis made from Sang Dang wood, and not from other trees. The 10 white virtues from causation's law enable one to roam the higher realms, but only those with faith can practice them. Great sinners are not free. The pith instructions of the gurus enable one to win highest enlightenment. But only he with karma or retribution can learn and practice them. Without capacity or karma, retribution, one seldom has the opportunity.
The precious pith instruction of the oral succession enables one without fail to become the Buddha, but only determined men can follow it, not pleasure seekers like yourself. Poverty is cured by food and wealth, which the generous and clever soon amass, but these the miserly can ne'er enjoy. Generosity is a merit of which one can be proud. You, the rich man of Nganson, have it, but not all the wealthy are so generous. I, Milarepa, and the disciple Savanrepa, due to wishes made in former lives, have stayed with you, the rich man of Genlun Nganson, for 7 delightful days. Now we must go. Health and long life to you and yours.
Milarepa then said,
You offered me food and lodging, and I preached for you. This relationship is important. He who reveres and rejoices in the Dharma, or true teaching, and has faith in it at all times, is planting the seed of Dharma, from which the innate-born wisdom will grow in his future lives. He who has rightly made a good wish does not have to learn many teachings, nor must he associate with his guru for a long time. If the outer conditions and the inner seeds of one's own mind meet together, though temporarily one may go astray, the power of the seas of the wish will eventually bring one to the right path. Furthermore, faith and earnestness are most important.
Nowadays, because people do not accumulate merits by practicing virtuous deeds, they seldom see the inner merits of others, but only their outer faults, even though these faults are small and insignificant. If you have faith in me, whether I live near or far from you will make no difference. If we live too close and our relationship becomes too intimate, it will only cause discord and trouble between us. I think it would be too difficult for you, at the present time, to be a perfect practitioner of the Dharma or true teaching. You must try to understand your own habitual thinking. In any case, I shall make a good wish for you, and you should also try to pray too, and have faith in me. If now you practice virtuous deeds and put your faith in the Dharma or true teaching, you will be reborn in a special favorable country with perfect conditions and means to practice the Dharma or true teaching.
It is not necessary for a real follower of the Dharma or true teaching to go to many places. Again, he who sees many faults in other people is liable to be an ignorant person himself. To you worldly beings, your native land is always the best. Also, you like grand religious ceremonies. But in fact, if you have good will and give provisions often and unsparingly to a single beggar, this would be quite sufficient. There is no such thing as this teaching is good and that teaching is bad. You should never be sectarian. It is hard for you to imitate me. The fox can never go where the lion leaps. He would break his back if he tried to copy the lion. It is indeed very difficult for most lovers of the Dharma or true teaching to follow my way of practicing. I hope that you, the aristocrat, will never lose faith in Dharma or true teaching.
This is the story of Milarepa singing the Song of the Staff at Gen Valley.
Thank you, kind-hearted viewers, for your presence today for Between Master and Disciples. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television for Planet Earth, Our Loving Home, up next, right after Noteworthy News. May heaven bless your life with much joy and beauty.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/BMD.